Well, good morning, guys. Good morning. I'm sorry to break up your little discussions. This is why we get together with other dads. You know, I just asked a couple of guys, hey, share your ages and names of your kids, and look what happens. We really get into discussing. I see smiles on everybody's face as you talk about your kids. We're going to have kind of a formal beginning here as we put this on tape for those who aren't able to attend. My name is Peter Spokes. I'm President and Chief Operating Officer of the National Center for Fathering. We're based in Kansas City, but most people find us on the web at fathers.com. Let me open this session in prayer. Lord, we're thankful for this time. I'm thankful for each and every one of the dads who came here today. I pray that you would use me to speak into the hearts of each of these men here. Give me the words to say and the issues to talk about that will touch each of them and turn the hearts of the fathers who are here to their children, and the hearts of the children to their fathers. Amen. Amen. Again, as I mentioned, my name is Peter Spokes. I've had the privilege to work at the National Center for Fathering for the last 15 years. My wife and I have 6 children, and everything that I've done as a dad, I really have to say is due to my wife. My wife is just a great mom and a great wife. Couldn't ask for anything more. With 6 kids, you can imagine what our house was like when we had 6 kids under the age of 10. It was pretty crazy. But my wife is really organized. We have, in those 6, 2 redheads, 2 blondes, and 2 brunettes. And they were born in exactly the right order. Red, blonde, brown, red, blonde, brown. Organized. The amazing thing is that the last 2 were twins. They were born 3 minutes apart, and they came in order, blonde and brown to bring up the rear. So I welcome all you guys here. We are going to do about a 6-hour seminar in 60 minutes, okay? Rob Reiner went through the whole Bible in a short amount of time. I'm going to be feeling like I'm challenged in the same way. But I want to encourage you, we will continue to support you through the website at fathers.com. The center began in 1990 by a guy named Ken Canfield. And Ken was studying families, and as he looked for the outcomes of kids, very quickly the data started to show him that kids who grew up in a home with an involved dad did much better on average than kids who grew up in homes without their dads. And so he set out to figure out ways that he could help dads become more engaged in the lives of their kids. If we were to fast forward today, we're 20 years old. We continue to use his research. He developed a personal fathering profile. And any one of you guys in this room could answer 138 questions on how you think about and do your fathering. We put those into our computer, and we could give you strengths and weaknesses on 20-some different fathering practices. Now, I tell you that not because I want you to go out and take that profile, because it's a little intimidating, but because I want to encourage you that the stuff we've done is based on that research. We know dads inside and out. We know where you are. The second thing that he studied was not just that, what I would call social science research, biblical research. There's 1,190 verses in the Bible that talk about fathers, fathering, fatherlessness, and we've studied all of those. And by God's design, what you find out when you study the Bible about fathering and what you study in social science research comes up with the same things. It's absolutely the same principles. Let me begin with the data that's real clear, and I'm going to summarize it very quickly. Now, for anybody who's listening on tape, what we can do, you'll be able to find these handouts at fathers.com/WBC, fathers.com/WBC for Wheaton Bible Church. All right. In America tonight, 25 million children will go to bed in a home where their dad doesn't live. 25 million. That's 1/3 of the population in America. That has changed dramatically over the last generation. Let me tell you what the research says about kids who grew up in homes without dads. And I'm giving you this data because I want to encourage you not only to be a father for your own kids, but to reach out and find a fatherless kid in your sphere of influence, whether it's here at the church, at home, in your neighborhood, your kids' sports team, in the choir, wherever it might be. I'm going to rattle these off. You don't need to write them down. But children, growing up in fatherless homes, first of all, are more likely to be born at a low birth weight. They're 5 times more likely to be poor, 2x as likely to suffer physical abuse, 4x likely to commit crimes, 4x likely to fail and drop out of school, 5x less likely to graduate from high school, 5x more likely to abuse drugs and alcohol. Girls are 3x more likely to become pregnant as teenagers if they're growing up in a home without a dad. Boys are 2x as likely to commit crimes and be incarcerated. Both are more likely to have their marriages end in divorce. Children who grew up in fatherless homes are more likely to be prone to depression, more likely to commit suicide. Now, what a grim way to start this talk. But I want to impress upon you guys that the role you have makes a huge difference in the lives of your kids and in the kids of your neighborhood. This is a role that God has given you. What do we call God? Father. He has given you His name for this role. Pay attention. This is the way God is telling you how important your role is. This is feedback on what we're doing today. And Rob talked about the last verses in the Old Testament. Come to turn the hearts of fathers to their children, the hearts of children to their fathers, lest I come and smite the land with a curse. America today is suffering because dads haven't done the job. Okay? Now, in case you thought that's just data, I can't give you that. Let me give you a picture. We have an essay contest that we do with kids. We ask them to write about what their fathers mean to them. I've got an essay from a 14-year-old girl. She doesn't have a dad. I was 14 years old when my father left me before I learned to say daddy. Even though my father's not around, in my heart, he's always there. Every birthday and every Christmas, I cross my fingers in hopes that my father will come home. Does my wish come true? No, but I never quit hoping and looking. What really hurts is walking through the mall and seeing girls, little girls, walking hand in hand with their fathers. I can see how much he loves his little girl, but I can't see my father loving me that way. I see my father a lot in my dreams, but never does he turn around. I call for him, but he just keeps walking away. I'd like to believe he misses me, but how can he miss a stranger? Every time I blow the candles out of my birthday cake, I wish the same wish that I have for the past 15 years. I wish that stranger would turn around and look at me. Maybe if he saw the pain and suffering from living without him in my eyes, he would become a part of my life. For now, all I can do is wish and never give up hope. For hope is all I have to live on to, hold on to. That's Crystal, 14 years old. If ever, guys, a thought is growing through your mind that my family's struggling and it's not working out, I want you to think of Crystal. When you see a little girl in your neighborhood, a little boy in your neighborhood who doesn't have a dad involved in their lives, I want you to think about what you can do, and we'll talk about this specifically, but what you can do to breathe life and encouragement into that child. That role of father, that name that God gave you, is powerful. And I want you to recognize how powerful it is. I'm going to talk about how powerful it is in a positive sense. But this is what happens to children when dad's blessing, when dad's affirmation isn't there for their kids. Now, our strategy at the National Center for Fathering is to meet dads where they are. A lot of dads like this, we meet them in churches. A lot of dads, we have to go into the court system, into the jails, into the schools. We try and find them where they are and speak to them where they are in terms of their how old their kids are and the situation they're in. We base everything we do on the research we've done, whether it's social science research or biblical research. So if we're teaching in a school, we talk to dads and we tell them what God's told them to do. But we don't quote chapter and verse like we're going to do today. Okay? We tell them, here's what the social science research says about what you can do as a father for your kids. So as I talk about this and share some stories and we look at videos, and remember, this is based on solid research, over 20 years worth of research that we're giving you. It's not just my personal opinion or my experience. Now, let's go through a real quick exercise. I want to impress upon you the power of a dad. So grab your hand out there. I want you to look at the side that says the handoff to you. It's real important as dads that we understand the heritage that we've received. So real quickly, I want you to take your pen and jot in the answer to that first question there. What's one word that describes your father or father figure? One word description. Okay, turn to your neighbor, share that one word description, tell them why you chose that. Okay, let the other guy share. Okay, let's hear some of those one word descriptions. Go ahead, shout them out for me. One word description about my dad. Teacher.
Faithful.
Absent.
Crazy.
Character. Good and bad in that one, right?
Character.
Stellar. Stellar? Awesome. Two more.
Loving.
Encourager. Okay. I'm hearing lots of positive words about dads. Okay. That's awesome. All right. In a room this size, we heard one absent. I know there's some other guys in here who might use words like distant, angry, authoritative. Some that have kind of a mixed blessing. I don't know in this particular situation, but crazy. Crazy could be lots of fun, or crazy could be crazy, right? One-word descriptions are powerful, but what I want you to do this exercise for you to have an understanding, first of all, you've now identified your dad. If you had a negative description of your dad, I want to challenge you to think about one positive thing that you got from your dad. All right? This next exercise will help you. Look at the next thing down there. I'm going to skip down to similarities and differences. I'm going to give you 2 minutes for this. I want you to write down in the column on the left 3 similarities between you and your dad. If you don't have a dad who's been involved in your life, I want you to think about a father figure who's been active in your life. 3 similarities and then 3 differences. And if you're struggling on this, think about what your siblings have said or what your wife has said. You are just like your dad. That's the word we're looking for. So jot that down in similarities or differences. Now, guys, if we had a 6-hour deal that we were doing together, I'd give you about 10 minutes to do this exercise. But what I want to do is just kind of take you through it quickly. I want to encourage you afterwards to go back and do this exercise. And when you go home today, or maybe later this week, I want to encourage you to do this same exercise with your spouse. Have your wife do this same thing, thinking about her father, similarities and differences. Okay, next step of this little exercise, circle the things that are positive in you. Could be on either side. So you got similarities that are circled. You may have differences that are circled. All right, I heard the word absent. You know, that's a difference between my dad and me. If I had the word present down there, that would be a positive difference between my dad and me. All right, let me hear some of those positive similarities. Go ahead and shout them out. Positive similarities. So it's circled and it's in the similarities column. Accepting of others. Fulfills his duties. Okay?
Steady work.
Steady work. Others.
Values.
Positive in both of you. Okay, how about in the differences column? Anything circled over there? Go ahead.
Risk taker.
Risk taker. So positive in you, but it's different from your dad? Got it. Any others? How about expresses affection? When I look at a group like this and look at the generation of dads here, what I see is a lot of dads who are here who are probably good at expressing affection with their children, but who haven't heard it from dad, or at least when they were growing up, didn't hear it from dad. That's a real common strength that I see in this generation of dads out here. Here's the lesson from this, and again, I want you to work more on this and unpack it at home. For those of you who have lots of things circled over on the left-hand side where you have similarities between you and your dad and they're positive in you, okay? The heritage, the handoff you have received is very positive. What God's calling you to do is to take that heritage that you've received, create a positive legacy that you're going to hand off to your kids. You have been blessed. And you need to appreciate that blessing in terms of thanking your earthly father and your heavenly father. But you also need to be consciously thinking about how can I pass on that positive fathering heritage that I've received. Some of you guys are looking at all the circles over on the right-hand side. Okay? You guys are breaking the cycle from one generation to the next. And God bless you. It's been hard work, I'm certain. But you have clearly, intentionally worked on developing these things over here in the differences column. I want to affirm you for doing that. I want to affirm you for doing that. You hearing that, you guys who haven't received a positive heritage? You are going to break that cycle and leave a very positive legacy for your kids. So what I'm trying to do in this first exercise here is to give you a sense of all the stuff that you've received from your dad, positive and negative. And the fact that unless you're intentional about it, that's going to get passed on. If you're one of those guys who needs to be a cycle breaker, be intentional about it. The other thing, I'm not going to go into great detail on it, but you might find out after your wife has done this exercise that there are some wounds that her father inflicted on her. You also may find that there are some expectations she has of you on the positive side that you don't feel like you've lived up to. But this exercise will help you articulate those, get those out on the table. Great story about a friend of mine named Dave. And Dave, his practice in the evening was to get ready for bed, go jump in bed, and then use that time to do his reading. And his wife would putz around the house, and then she would finish up and then come and get in bed next to him. And one instance he told me, he said, you know, Sandy got into bed with me, and she walked by every unlocked door in the house and every turned off light in the house and climbed to bed and then looked at me and said, aren't you going to close up tonight? And his rational thought was, right, you just walked by all the doors, you just walked by all the light switches, why didn't you do that? But that was something that she has in her experience, that that's the role of a dad, to close up the house at night. He had no clue about it. Going through these exercises will help you understand there's a reason your wife has that thought about being a dad imprinted on her heart, for good or for bad. It's from this experience. So I encourage you, go through this thing with your wife. Spend some more time unpacking it yourself. And I'm not going to go give you time to do these things right now, but think about these questions. If your father or father figure were here, what would you want to tell him today? Some of you have unreconciled relationships with your dad, and you may want to tell him, Dad, I don't care all the stuff you've done, but I love you. I really want to get to know you better. All right? I want to encourage you to follow through on those thoughts. Another thing is, you know, Dad might have given you 90% of the stuff that's bad. Go to him and say, Dad, what I got from you that I really love is this. And affirm him. He wants to be connected with you. There is no doubt in my mind. God has created that in us to connect with our kids. And even though there may have been separation, we need to do that. The handoff from you, what you need to be thinking about is, what is one thing that you're going to give your children? If it's your faith, boy, we've heard a lot of stuff this weekend on how to hand off our faith to our kids through family worship time. Act on it, guys. What do they need from you? Same thing. All right? So go through these at a different time. What I want to get into it to right now is some real practical stuff that comes out of the research on fathering. And one of the things you're going to find, and I'm just referring to this, this is a book called Championship Fathering. It's available here upstairs. And I'm going to use it because it's real practical. Guys, we developed this as a playbook for dads. All right? So all the stuff I'm going to talk about, it's in here. If you want to take home a copy, you want to get it into your small groups, I encourage you to do that. But my goal right now is to provide you a framework in the last 25 minutes to think about how you should be doing your fathering. Again, this comes from our research with dads, and what I'm going to cover, the three overarching principles of fathering that come out of the research. The first one is loving, okay? A dad is loving. And if you look at your outlines, you'll see on the back there that we're going to give you a scripture verse for each of these. I'm going to give you some key words that are going to bring back what we talked about, and then I'm going to suggest some actions for you on how to fulfill the loving aspect of it. Let me give you a scripture verse. Matthew 3:16-17. I'll read that to you. As soon as Jesus was baptized, he went up out of the water. At that moment, heaven was opened. He saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and lighting on him. And a voice from heaven said, "This is my Son, whom I love. With him I am well pleased." The Heavenly Father sends his Son. And before he starts his ministry, what's the first thing he does? Before he sends him out, he blesses him, says, "I love you," and says, "I'm proud of you." All right? This is what our kids need from us as fathers. What you saw in the video was one dad living that out. Those were the semifinals of the Olympic trials. Guy had trained 4 years for that. Derek Redmond's his name. Pulls up lame. His dad was in the back row of the stadium, all the way up at the top, ran all the way down, jumped past the security guards, and went there to be with his son. The picture in that stadium, I guarantee you, the eyes were not on who won that heat. The eyes were on that father affirming and loving and being there for his child. Guys, that's what we need to be. We need to be there for our kids. Those of you dads who never heard that from your father know what I mean. Those of you who have heard that from your father know what I mean. There's nothing like having your dad in your corner. Here's some key words for you. Nurturing. Affirming. Listening. Those are expressions of love, nurturing, affirming, and listening. There isn't anything that will equip your child to experience a date, to go to that first day of kindergarten, like, "Son, I'm proud of you. I can't wait to see what's going to happen with you at school today. But no matter what happens, know that I love you. Know that I'm proud of you." And I want to tell you, your kids need that, but there's also kids who are in your kids' friends who don't have anybody to say that. And this works with your kids in school. It works with the kids at the church here. We do work with professional athletes, with the Kansas City Chiefs, with actually throughout the NFL. We've done a lot of work on the Hill as well. And I'll just tell you one of these powerful things. The chaplain of the Senate, Barry Black, wouldn't mind us telling this story, but Barry grew up in an urban neighborhood in Baltimore, was heading on the wrong track until he was stabbed, left near death. His mom and grandmother prayed for him. No dad in his life. Okay? He turns his life around as he accepts Christ as his Savior, enters into the Navy. Long story short, becomes the chief of all chaplains in the Navy. Retires as a rear admiral. Becomes the chaplain of the Senate. My boss, Kerry Casey, goes to him and sees in his eyes that he's never been affirmed by his father and does that for him. He says, "Barry, I'm not your daddy, but I know if your daddy were here and he saw who you are and who you've become, he would be proud of you. I want you to know I'm proud of you and I love you." And he broke down in tears. Guys, we need that and our kids need that. That's what loving is all about. All right? There are two aspects of loving. One is loving your kids, affirming them, listening to them, nurturing them. The other aspect of it is loving your wife. All right? Loving your wife. Now, some of you probably, looking at the numbers here, some of you aren't married to your wife. What I would say to you is it's critical that you are loving, honoring, and respectful of your child's mother. You need to be recognizing that you're modeling what a male-female relationship looks like. And if your kids don't see it in their daddy, they're going to see it somewhere else. They're going to discount what they see. So you need to be modeling that. All right? And there's, I'm not going to unpack that a lot, but what I tell you is the more you can love on and affirm your wife, your children are going to learn what to look for in a husband or a wife. And they're going to know what their marriage ought to look like when they're older. So, two aspects of loving. Loving your children, affirming them, nurturing them, doing the same for your wife. Show them what it looks like. Practical things. One of the things coming out of this book, you know, one of the plays you ought to be running right here. I'll give you just a few of them. And the book breaks it out by preschool, kind of like I did, elementary school, and then teenagers. One fun thing to do with young kids is have a staring contest with them. Engage them with a stare and see how long you can keep that up. I guarantee you it's going to evolve into laughs and hugs. All right? Just a little staring contest. It's a fun little thing you can do with your kids like that. But they will understand and see in your eyes the love and affirmation you have for them when you look them right in the eye and eventually give them a hug. All right? If you travel a lot, you got kids in elementary school, or you're gone during the day, record a message on a video. All right? I know guys who, you know, will travel a week at a time, and having dad who just reads a bedtime story to them on the video, or just giving a message for them. So don't lose that opportunity to have contact with your kids just because you're not there. The other thing for, you know, teenagers. This can be real awkward, especially with sons, but I encourage you to do it. Go up to them and just say, I need a 10-second hug. You're going to say, Dad, come on, Dad, I don't want that. Say, this is for me, all right? I want a 10-second hug. Have that affirmation time with them, okay? They'll come to like it. Particularly your boys might rebel a little bit of that. Do it anyway, all right? Don't do it in front of their friends, all right? This is private to you guys with older kids. You know, Dad, it's okay that you love me and all that. Just don't get like that in front of my buddies, all right? So do that. But all right, so those are some real quick, and again, these are in the book. You can take a look at those things. The second aspect of it is coaching, all right? It takes two eyes to be a good coach, all right? One of those eyes is involvement, all right? So key word is involvement. And when I say involvement, I mean another key word, participation, all right? It's not when you're watching from a distance. It's when you're right there doing stuff in their lives. I had a really good friend who said, I got a great relationship with two of my three kids. The second and third one, I absolutely love them. We have great times, great discussions, all that. But my oldest daughter, she doesn't play golf. Okay? There's a dad trying to involve his children in his life, not getting involved in their life. Find what your kid's passion is. Get involved in it. You ought to be the expert. Another aspect of this involvement. The other one is insight. The other I is insight. You need to be an expert in your child. You need to know your child better than anybody else in the world. If we had time, I'd give you guys a little survey, 10 questions about just trivial stuff. And I guarantee you, looking at the intelligence of this group right here, you'd get 7 or 8 out of 10. Some of you would get 10 questions. But, you know, who won the last Super Bowl? What was the price of the last gallon of gas you paid? What happened to the stock market on Friday? All these things. Guys have this. If I ask you 10 questions about your kids and compare how you do, who are your kids' three best friends? If they could go anywhere to eat, where would they go? Some of you may know that. But where would they go? Not where do you want to go? All right? 10 questions. So you need to be the expert. When I was growing up, the worst thing in the world that would happen is if my dad came to school, right? Because we knew it was trouble. Dads, as you go to kids at school for the parent-child conference, what you ought to be prepared to do is to say, okay, here's what I can tell you about my child and how they learn, how he or she learns. If you're the expert, you can do that, as opposed to what I did with my first few, which were, boy, I hope they don't say anything about my kid making trouble in school. All right? Go there. Be the knowledge expert. Read books on child development. You need to do that. Mostly, we delegate that to our wives. That's wrong, guys. We need to be the experts in our kids. All right? Best thing you can do here is get together with your wife. My wife, we were blessed that she could stay home with the kids. When they came home from school, she'd sit them down. There would always be food on the counter because she knew they'd unwind for the day, they'd have a little something to eat. And then they'd open up, and she would get all this great stuff about what happened at school that day. When I came home and sit down with them at dinner time, you know, food in front of them again, I'd say, you know, how'd school go today? Fine. You know everything, though? I don't know. No conversation. The window was open, and my wife had that time. Okay? What I need to do is go with my wife, unpack that time, all that she learned, and then be able to ask my kids specific questions. Oh, I understand there was trouble at recess today. What happened? Now I've got a specific question. And I'll tell you, there's one thing we do that's turned out to be a real godsend. It's a program called Watchdogs. If you don't have this at school, find out about it. I got little brochures here you can get. But it's a way for dads to get involved in their kids' school. At the beginning of the year, the school hosts a pizza night. Dads are invited. Father figures are invited to come and spend an evening with the kids. We have a lot of fun. We challenge the dad to come back for one more day, one day during the school year where they can serve as a watchdog. The principal gives them what they want to do during the day, from greeting the kids on the bus, coming off the bus, to spending time in classroom with your kids, helping the special needs kids, reading announcements, whatever it might be, usually eating four lunches and having fun time on recess, right? All of those things. But that will give you insight into your kids' life at school that you've never had before. All right, Watchdogs, check it out. It's a great way to figure out what's going on in your kids' lives at school. All right, so the second thing, loving. Coaching is the second thing, and we need insight, we need to be experts in our kids, and we need to be involved, and involved in their life, not ours. All right? Modeling. Two aspects that come out of the research on modeling. One is consistency. Our kids learn from what we do on a consistent basis. They learn from what we do on a consistent basis. Had a friend relate this story. The child was in the car with the dad and asked the dad, you know, why does such and such a thing happen? The dad thought about it for a second and he goes, I don't know. The child came back and said, you know, his sister Sarah says that when you answer, I don't know, it's because you're not really listening to what I asked.
Whoa.
Okay? Not really listening. What we need to be doing, guys, is modeling what that looks listening looks like. Yeah, question. I'm sorry. Thank you for that. Two scriptures, and I didn't. They're used upstairs. Proverbs 22:6. Thank you for that question. Proverbs 22:6. Train a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not turn from it. And the second one is, these commandments I gave you today are to be on your hearts. You heard these upstairs, right? Impress them on your children. Talk about them when you sit at home, when you walk along the road, when you lie down, and when you get up. You heard that unpacked upstairs. The only other thing I'd encourage you to do is when you go back and read this scripture in your Bible, I want you to underline two key words in that. When you. Okay, key words for this one from the scripture. When you. It is your responsibility to impress those values on your children. And you do it when, not if. Okay, so it's not, if you take your kids to church, they will learn about this thing. No. It's your job, Dad, to teach your, to impress these on the hearts of your children when you do all these things, whether it's in the home, on the road, wherever it might be. Thank you for that question. The scripture, I'll just jump right into it on modeling. John 5:19. Jesus gave them this answer. I tell you the truth. The Son can do nothing by himself. He can do only what he sees his Father doing. Because whatever the Father does, the Son also does. We're talking about the Son of God saying this. I can only do what I see my Father doing. Guess what? Your kids are just like that. They will do what they see the Father, you, doing. Let's watch this video if we could, and you'll see this illustrated. Modeling.
We're going to pick.
Hey, little bear. Where'd you learn that song?
You, Daddy.
Oh, you ready to go?
Okay. Driving through town, just my boy and me, with a Happy Meal in his booster seat, knowing that he couldn't have the toy till his nuggets were gone. A green traffic light turned straight to red. I hit my brakes and mumbled under my breath. His fries went a-flying and his orange drink covered his lap. Well, in my 4-year-old set a 4-letter word, it started with S. and I was concerned. So I said, son, now where'd you learn to talk like that? He said, I've been watching you, that ain't that cool. I'm your buckaroo, I wanna be like you and eat all my food and grow as tall as you are. We got cowboy boots and camo pants, yeah, we're just alike, hey, ain't we, Dad? I wanna do everything you do. So I've been watching. Got back home and I went to the barn. I bowed my head and I prayed real hard. Said, Lord, please help me help my stupid self. The next side of bedtime later that night, turning on my son Scooby-Doo nightlight. He crawled out of bed and he got down on his knees. He closed his little eyes, folded his little hands, spoke to God like he was talking to a friend. And I said, son, now where'd you learn to pray like that? He said, I've been watching you, Dad, ain't that cool? I'm your buckaroo, I wanna be like you and eat all my food and grow as tall as you are. Some things and holding mama's hand, yeah, we're just alike, hey, ain't we, Dad? I wanna do everything you do, so I've been watching you. With tears in my eyes, I wrapped him in a hook, said my little bear is growing up. And he said, but when I'm big, I'll still know what to do. I've been watching you, Dad, ain't that cool? I'm your buckaroo, I wanna be like you and eat all my food and grow as tall as you are. By then I'll be strong as Superman, we'll be just alike, hey, won't we, Dad? When I can do everything you do, 'cause I've been watching you.
Two aspects of modeling, key words, I guess I should say. Consistency. If you're consistent, if your kids, they're watching you night and day, it's really critical that we don't do that, that we are consistent in what we are trying to model for their kids. The second thing is faith. Another key word, faith. Some of you, you know, if I was teaching in a school, I'd be talking about values instead of faith. What we've heard upstairs is our most critical role. And I wouldn't say, in this group, I wouldn't say parents. I would say as fathers, our most critical role is to evangelize our children, to make sure that the godly heritage that you've received, whether it be from your own dad or from someone, a father figure in your life, but that your faith gets passed down through the generations. Okay, so faith and values are the aspect of modeling. There's a longitudinal study from Switzerland, and I use this as an example because from a social development standpoint, from a faith development standpoint, Europe is ahead of the U.S. All right, they did a multi-generational study, and they looked at what happens to the next generation when dad goes to church or doesn't go to church. All right? And that's not a measure of being a Christian. I can't use that completely. But if you just because you go to church doesn't mean you're a Christian. But Christians need to be part of the body. Here's what happens. If dad does not go to church, okay, dad does not go to church, the likelihood that his children will go to church as an adult is 1 in 50. 1 in 50. Dad doesn't go to church. If dad does attend church, what this study showed was 2 out of 3 kids 66% of the kids in the next generation as adults will go to church. If both mom and dad go to church, that jumps to 75%. Okay, so who are kids looking at to model the faith walk? If there's one thing you guys get out of this session today, this is it. Your kids are watching you and how you model your faith. Do they see you studying the Bible? Do they see you as you struggle with decisions, going to the Bible for wisdom? What do they see you do, Dad? This is the key role. And as we heard upstairs, for us as parents, but particularly for dads, and I give you that study so that you understand, if your wives do it, that's great. But if you don't do it, the likelihood of it landing in the lives of your children as adults is dramatically, dramatically, dramatically reduced. Okay? Be purposeful and intentional about how you do this. This is why they make that family worship time such an important part of the overall event that they've been doing. Two other things that we talk about in the Championship Fathering book. As I mentioned at the outset, and the first one is encouraging. And the word I want you to write down is another child. The scripture verse is James 1:27. I'm sorry, I'm going to have to accelerate here to get this finished. But religion that God our Father accepts as pure and faultless is this. Pay attention. Religion that God our Father accepts as pure and faultless is this. To look after orphans and widows in their distress and to keep oneself from being polluted by the world. Religion that God accepts looks out for those children who don't have dads. I'm going to challenge you to find another child, to encourage that child, be a father figure for them intentionally. There are 65 million fathers in America, okay? There are 25 million kids who are going to go to bed tonight where their dad doesn't live. There's enough of us to go around, guys. But we have to be purposeful in reaching out and encouraging those kids. Last thing I want to talk about is enlisting other dads. The scripture verse there is Proverbs 27:17. Not unfamiliar, I think, to most of you, as iron sharpens iron, so one man sharpens another. I just want to tell you what it looked like. The first 5 minutes I was sitting in this room, we had about a dozen dads in here. Everybody was pretty quiet. I said, turn to your neighbor. Tell them about your kids. How many kids do you have? How old are they? And it took me some time to get you guys to quiet down. We need to meet with other dads, okay? There are some dads you know who need encouragement as a father. They're probably not involved in church right now. You know if you've got kids in sports, right? There's some dads who are living out their fantasies through their kids. I guarantee you they haven't got other dads who they're building a relationship with and understanding what fathering is about. So reach out to other dads and enlist those other dads. What we're doing at the National Center for Fathering is to challenge dads to live a 5-point commitment to become championship fathers. Spelled out in the playbook here, but even without the playbook, there are just 5 things. I'm going to hand around these cards that spell out the 5 points. And we've just talked about them, if you can make sure some of those go that way too. 5 points, guess what they are? Loving, coaching, modeling for your own kids. Encouraging another child, reaching out to them, and then enlisting other fathers at the same time to love, coach, and model, and to encourage another child. All right? Here's our vision. There's 65 million fathers, as I mentioned. Our goal is to get to the tipping point. We've got to win this culture back in America today, where every child has an involved father, grandfather, or father figure. Every guy we talk to, we want to involve in this movement to create a culture of championship fathering, not a culture of absent fathers as we have today. Looking at that last verse in Malachi, we want to see the hearts of fathers in America turn to their children, the hearts of children turn to their fathers, so that we can avoid that curse, so that we can have a culture that's positive for kids to grow up in. We've seen that tipping point. Our best guess at where that might be is 10% of the dads in the U.S. So we're looking for 6.5 million dads to make a commitment to championship fathering. Here's what that would look like. Shoulder to shoulder, 6.5 million dads. We all lined up like this. It would cover a distance of 3,077 miles. Boston Harbor to San Diego, 3,077 miles. If we can get dads to make that commitment and then to begin living it, I really believe we can change the culture and win back the kingdom that God's created here for us to see, where we can win families beyond our own. So what I'm going to ask you to do is I want to ask you guys to make that commitment today. You can do that just by signing your name to that card. Would love to talk to you afterwards. I'll give you a wristband like this that will remind you of loving, coaching, and modeling so that you can do those things every day for your kids. I believe that if we have groups of dads like this who will make a commitment and then begin living it, that we can really change the culture that we have in America today. Got one last video. As you fill out that card, I want to show you this video about what groups of guys like this can do.
From underneath the trees, we watch the sky, confusing stars, the satellites.
Change the world. But fathers have a power that comes from the Heavenly Father. It goes way beyond the power of a small group. We can use that power that's talked about there. But the power that we need to tap into is our Heavenly Father. And the way He has positioned us, not only to change the lives of our own kids, but to change the lives of the children and the world around us. I'm handing out right now another sheet, and we haven't had time to go into this, but I want to give this to you as a resource that goes back after this. On one side, it suggests that there are a bunch of different ways that you can get involved, and we would love to have you get involved. In fact, if you turn in that card, what I will commit to you is that we will encourage you each and every week via email with a very short practical idea on how you can become a better father. And we write this for dads with kids of all ages. All right? Flip it over, and on the back side, you'll see an assessment. And you can answer these simple questions. There are not that many of them. But it'll give you an idea about how you're doing today with respect to loving, coaching, modeling, encouraging, and enlisting. Okay? You can get an assessment of where you are. When you go through that thing, I want you to take whatever your score is and just write it down and be encouraged by it. But then be intentional about putting some of the things we talked about today into action. And come back 6 months from now and assess that. You'll see it challenges you on encouraging and enlisting. What is it that you're doing to reach out to another child? What is it that you're doing to enlist other fathers? So those five areas will really make a difference in your life, the lives of your kids, and the lives of the neighborhood and the world around you. So I encourage you to do that. Remember, God has given you the role of father. He has given that to you. He has called you to be a father to your own children and to be a father to the fatherless. I'm challenging you, encouraging you to use whatever resources you can to fulfill that. Let me close this in prayer. Lord, I'm thankful for this time, albeit hurried. I pray that what these men have heard today would both challenge and encourage them to fulfill the role that you've called them to for their children, for their grandchildren, for the fatherless children in their sphere of influence. I pray that you would be an encouragement to them to bring resources into their world so that they can fulfill that and be encouraged, that they can be the father, grandfather, or father figure you've called them to be. Thanks again for this time, Lord. Thank you for this church who has brought this whole event together in order to be an encouragement and an empowerment to all these dads and their wives. Bless us, Lord, in your son's name. Amen.